chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As we look this morning, appreciate the singing, appreciate you this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking to a troubled church. They got a lot of issues. If there's probably any place we will come closer to being like, it's not Ephesus, who was a good, great church. It was commanded a lot. It's definitely not Philadelphia. That might be our favorite, but we might be in that time zone, but we're not in that predicament, Brother Rick. We have increased in every way, but sometimes we leave a first love. But if there's ever an example in the Bible of who we are, it's the church of Corinth. They were messed up. And they were messed up with the Lord. They were messed up one with another. They had a lot of flesh in them. They had a lot of they just messed up. That's the best way to say it. And Paul's writing to them all the time, trying to fix them, trying to help them. And what is it we learned? I think there may have been more than just two letters. We got two in the Bible, but he had to write more than one or two because they were such a mess. How about that? Take a lot of time. And if there was ever a time period, if we would go back in time, it wouldn't shock me if he had a letter wrote to Mountain State. It wouldn't shock me at all. And it wouldn't be to commend. It would be to admonish, all right? And you know why? Because that's just the way we are. But it would also be every other church across the country. We're not by ourselves. But I want you to understand, it's all because of we're in a battle. It's how we face the battle. It's how we come through. It's not the question of victory. It's how we get through the skirmish. Where we quit or not. Right. All right? And I don't know. I'm having a problem quitting. I'm just having a problem doing it. I just ain't got no quit in me. I just can't do it. I'm having a problem backing up. It ain't in me. I just can't back up. I'm sorry. I may go sideways a little bit, but I can't even go sideways very far. All right, I might stand and not move, but I'm built to go on through. All right, and I'm not bragging on me. I can't see it. I can't see us giving up. I can't see us laying things aside. I can't see us quitting the battle. I just can't see it happening. And if you see that, I'm sorry, but I can't. And I'm asking you, if you ain't got enough to follow the Lord, at least follow me. Huh? I'm not going to try to lead you wrong, but I'm just telling you, I'll drag you along best I can. Huh? If nothing else, I'll get you by the shirt collar and just drag on you and keep you with me, all right? What I'm wanting you to do is understand this is a battle. Now, just because you're old means nothing, and just because you're young means nothing. And everybody in between. But Paul's writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and he's explaining some things about himself. If we start at verse 1, it said, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you." He tells them, the Lord's meek, and the Lord gentle. I'm not going to be real meek and gentle right now. I'm bold toward you. All right? But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present. I'm writing you this letter so it'll take care of it so we can fellowship when I get there. We all right? That's what he's saying. He says, verse 2, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which say of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Now, understand, there's some that thinks we're in this thing fleshly. Sometimes we fight our battles like they're fleshly. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Look at me. Sometimes you fight these battles like they're fleshly. First of all, like you can fix it. Well, you can't fix nothing, but you can sure make a mess of it. All right, we're not fixers. The Lord is the fixer. We're the breaker. He's the fixer. Everybody understand that? Now, but we walk in and we take things out on people. We fight one another because we think our battle's flesh. And we fight battles and we use even flesh ammunition, and it don't work that way. Everybody understand? Now, look at verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We'll stop right there. Now, what I want to remind you of this morning, maybe give you a little bit of help. All right, just if I give you anything, just maybe a little bit of help this morning about when we're doing battle with the enemy. Now, I'm no professional. All right? I don't have all the answers. The Bible's got all the answers. But I am a veteran. I may not be professional, but I am a veteran. Okay? I'm a veteran of a lot of battles. And it ain't let up. All right? Now, some say that they didn't join the service. I've even made that remark. I didn't join the military. I got married instead because they just wanted me to fight for 4 years, and I got married so I could fight for life. But that's not true. That's not true. All right? But I want you to understand that we are in a warfare. Now, I've been in a warfare since I got saved. Can I tell you that you've been in a warfare since you got saved? All right? Whether you saved at a young age or an old age, it don't matter. And everybody fights battles. Now, I may not be fighting the same battle that I fought when I was 13 or when I was 15 or when I was 17, but I'm fighting battles. All right? I fight battles mind. I fight battles from the oppressions. I fight battles because of the adversary of what he puts in my mind. And our flesh, listen, can I encourage you? Listen, our flesh, we get old, we die. All right, we break down, we work ourselves to death, our joints get bad, arthritis, we have heart attacks, we have strokes, sugar diabetes, heart trouble, kidney failures, because we don't eat right, we don't exercise right, we don't do nothing really right. You know, we eat a pound of sugar and wonder why our sugar's high. We sit on the couch, we don't exercise, we're all overweight. All of that's just normal stuff, okay? Because that you die, okay? Your teeth rot out, you'll have somebody else's teeth, your eyes go bad, you'll have to wear glasses, you can't hear, you have to get AIDS, you can't walk, you'll have walkers and crutches. That's life. You fall down when you get old, you're going to break something. Okay, that's going to happen. You're going to break a hip, or break an arm, break a leg, break a wrist, all right? You hit your head, you'll probably have a brain bleed, have a stroke. These things happen. That's everyday life. Them ain't our battles. Then quit letting it influence you. Them ain't our battles. That's flesh. That's all because of the result of sin. We don't have perfect bodies because of sin, and that's just it. All right? That's it. Think about it. When I was young, I run and tumbled for fun. You know? Now I just tumble. Yeah, and it ain't fun. Right? But I'm paying the result of having fun tumbling and running tumbling. All right? We can't do it. I mean, we have car wrecks. We have work accidents. I mean, sometimes you break a nail on a typewriter. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Sometimes you'll get a paper cut. There's injuries. This is life. This is life. We'll let that influence us so much in our spiritual walk with God. Right? Listen, there's stupid people everywhere, and we're half of it half the time. We get mad. Oh, I hate dealing with stupid people. Wonder what they thought. You know? David, that's just the way it is. This is life. You get too old, you can't work. I seen something, somebody showed me a picture and had somebody old in a rocking chair, and it says, "Don't be aggravated because they can't do something, because remember that they're aggravated because they can't do it either." So we got to have sympathies, and we got to have, these are things, everybody catch what I said. So, but this is life. But our warfare is spiritual. And we need to understand that the enemy will use things that we're going through to affect us, because he don't want us to live the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live in defeat. I can't live in defeat. Are you hearing me? Now, So let's look at some things. We okay? Is everybody still okay with me? We're talking about, I wish I could have been here last night. All right, I left the decorations up here. They called me, they said, can we, do you want all the decorations down? I said, no, Lordy, no. And the only reason is that I didn't know what they was. I hadn't seen them, and I like them. I don't care much for the collar. It looks like Tennessee instead of West Virginia. But I have to talk to Greg and him about that, but maybe more gold and blue. But anyway, Boyd would be happy, wouldn't he? But I told him no leaving because I didn't want him to go to the trouble being up late last night and time changing. But I look at this, Jesus' life, you know, my game, his glory, victory in Jesus. I said, yeah, we need that this morning because I didn't know what all this was going to be. I was not aware of it, okay? Now, just bits and pieces, I had no clue of the title or nothing because I've been busy. And so already had this message. So I thank the Lord for all that, all right? So maybe we ought to come in a little bit charged. It takes a little bit of decoration, all right, to get us hooped up a little bit to know that we have victory in Jesus. So we're still okay. Now, I know I'm talking fast.
Amen.
All right, I got a lot to say, but I just wanted to listen fast this morning. But I'm excited, all right? I'm excited. Now, I'm wore plumb out, but I'm excited. All right, my mind's tired, and y'all know me. Kristen won't know if I went to Morgantown by myself, and I said no. I took Cheryl home, and all of us went up. So I wasn't by myself. Okay, now listen to me. We're talking about doing battle with the enemy. Let's go back to the scripture, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10:4. We okay? For though we walk, the 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war for it. But look, 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, my weapons are mighty through God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
All right? Everybody see that? Now, casting down, this is for us now, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our warfare is in our mind. Last part of verse 5. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your walker, your cane, your hearing aid, your glasses, that's not your warfare. Your cancer, your diabetes, your heart attack, your kidney failure, that's not warfare. Your bad back, your bad legs, your bad arms, your false teeth, that's not warfare. Your warfare is in between your ears. That's where your warfare is at. And you need to do better. I need to do better. Okay? We need to do better. So I want us to look, first thing I want you to think about is the reality of the battle. The reality of the battle. That we are in a warfare. You know, it's real. It is real. And it's been that way for many, many years. But the warfare is real. Why? Why? Because the enemy hates you. The enemy hates Christ. You belong to Christ. So he hates Christ. He hates you. The enemy hates God. He hates God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He rebelled against all of that. So anybody that's with that, he's against you. He's never your friend. Never your friend. He is always a liar.
Yeah.
Always a liar.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? Always a liar.
Yeah.
Now, if he says 9 things true and 1 thing lie, it's because he's a liar.
Yeah.
Remember that when you talk. Okay? 9 things true and 1 lie makes you a liar as well.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay? Everybody understand that? So, it's simplicity. So the reality is now, but then we need to be aware that we do have an enemy. We need to be aware that he has the light. Well, the scripture tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Hang with me up there, guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yeah, right.
We're not ignorant of them.
Right.
We know because we have a Bible.
Yeah.
Huh? But Satan will get an advantage of us if we ain't careful. All right? If we ain't careful. Think about that. 1 Peter chapter 5. These verses, nothing I'm going to tell you new, but we just need to apply them this morning. Okay? Trying to be your pastor this morning, if you'll let me. All right? 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Now, we need to pay attention, be on guard, be aware, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I learned something here the other night, a wonderful illustration. I learned more when I study different, I hear different, y'all know I'm different, but I had the Bible class, and the Bible's teaching, I'm listening to him, and I'm writing down outlines in my book, and I'm reading my scripture, and I'm listening to him, and I got everybody working, okay? All of them, I got a staff that goes with me everywhere I go, all right? But understand this, the teacher said the other night in class, he said, that big lion's over here roaring. And everybody's attention over here is, they're paying attention to the roar, while the rest of the pack is over here slipping in to jump on the neck of while your back's turned listening to the roar. Okay? So we need to pay more attention than just the roar. We need to pay attention all around us. Everybody okay with that? I mean, I thought that was so simple.
Yeah.
All right? And he does roar. But we need to understand that's the reality of the battle. All right? I see Max holding that little baby. That little baby is precious, and the enemy hates that little baby. So you know what the enemy will try to do? It'll try to discourage Papa Momo, Max and Julie there, by doing something to that baby. All right? By aggravation. If he can't get the baby, he'll aggravate Mom and Dad. Okay? He'll do something to stir up something so where there's a problem with that baby. Just to get your mind off, he's roaring over here, but he's trying to slip into, and that precious little baby can be the very instrument. So in, don't have a clue. It's not the baby's doing. All right? Y'all understand that? And we got to pay attention. And then I think, not only of the reality of battle, the roughness of the battle. You understand that we've already won.
Yes.
But can I tell you, sometimes it don't seem like it. Huh? Tell me the picture, Jeremy. Show me the picture. That fella in the background, he won. Just so you'll know. He won that fight. Can't prove it by me. Huh? Now look at that. Looks pretty rough, don't it? Huh? How many look like that inside?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? We look like that inside. Man, we're plumb out. Now, if you ain't never been like that, I'm sorry. I've been like that on the outside.
Yeah.
Ain't we, Steve? we've looked like that, huh? Huh? I'm glad them years are gone.
Right.
But now I've just changed the battle from the inside to the outside. Huh? But that's the winner. Are y'all understanding? That's the winner.
Right.
I didn't leave the caption, but he it just showed, and this is his victorious battle with such and such. Well, just, yeah, right. Huh? See, hear me. Your battle ain't that little dandelion bloom floating through the air in the summertime. That ain't your battle. That's your battle. And it's rough. It's rough. It's rough. And it hurts. It hurts. I mean, it hurts bad. Huh? The enemy don't fight fair. Huh? And it's hard. The fighting's hard. Huh? And the fighting's bloody. And it hurts. Huh?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? We know. Do we know that? But see, we're not thinking it's the enemy hurting us. We think it's others. Sometimes we think it's God. Can you think God would leave you like that? That's what He done to win our victory. He'll not make you look like that. But the enemy will. Are you following me? Talk to me if you understand what I'm telling you. So if there's any time to say, yes, I agree, I understand, it would be today. Because that's going to help you. All right? You're not helping me? I don't care what you say or not. I'm here to help you this morning. Okay? Now you think about that. The enemy does that. Think about it. Now, he uses others. He uses others. But that's not the enemy. Huh? We preached 16 weeks on love. Hardest preaching I've ever done. The hardest physically. Hardest mentally. The hardest received. Huh? Love one another. For a husband and a wife to love one another. Now see, what's funny is people think my mind's on everything. I don't miss very little. I see people get out of cars. And I see your attitude when you come to church. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. You know where somebody's puffed up when they get out. Yes. I mean, they don't smoke, but the smoke rolls out of the car when they get out. Huh? They don't smoke cigarettes. Huh? Because of that fight. But your husband and wife ain't your enemy. That ain't your enemy. Satan's their enemy. But yet we'll use that and we'll blame it on the husband or the wife or the kids or everything else. But we go to the roar. Not to what the enemy's attacking. Everybody with me? Now, well, let's look at a couple of things. We'll give you, I don't know, four things here just to start with. Just get you to think, all right? Then we're going to go through some scripture for some help, for some resources. But we looked at the reality of the battle, and now I want to concentrate on the roughness of the battle, all right? And that's I want that in your mind. That's the roughness of the battle. When you go to battle, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. There's no such thing as a fair fight. No such thing as a fair fight. If I fight you, if I can hit you on the end of the nose and then kick you in the knee sideways, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to break your knee and bust your nose where you can't see, where your eyes water, and try to take your knee out. That's the first two things I want to do. And then if I can hit you in the belly and take all your wind, then I'm going to jump on you. But that's my goal. So if we ever get in a fight, get ready for that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to punch you in the nose where your eyes watered. I'm going to kick you in the knee, try to break your knee or dislocate it where you can't stand up. And then I'm going to jump on you. Okay? We okay? Think about that. That's how the enemy plays. That's how the enemy plays. We all right? Like that. I looked this up on a purpose, and I wanted to, and I typed in Google, and I said pictures of winning boxers, bloody winning boxers. I think that's the way I done it. And this come up. He's the victor, and he, man. Think about it. We okay? What did he hit us with? What did he shoot at us with? hear me this morning. One of the first things that the enemy shoots us with and hurts us in a church, in our everyday life, in our home life, in our work life, in our normal work, is unforgiveness. See, that's not fleshly. That's spiritual. And do you know what all is wrapped up in unforgiveness? Pride. Arrogancy. Self-righteousness. That's why we pout. Because of unforgiveness. That's why we get bitter. Because of unforgiveness. That's why we get quiet. That's why we go to separate places in our home. That's why we go for long walks by ourselves. And it's because of the enemy. Okay? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. We shun people. We don't get near people. We avoid people. Normally, because of unforgiveness. Now, it's everybody else's fault. We're justified in all of it. And that's where pride is. And that's where arrogance is at. And that's where self-righteousness is at. See, our weapons of warfare are not this.
Right. Right.
It's here. With unforgiveness. If everything's going good, the enemy will remind us of things that happened years ago. So he can get it stirred up again. Unforgiveness. If you don't believe that, get upset with someone. Or let somebody do something. Yeah, well, you know, years ago, you know, they done this too, if you remember. You ever do that? You ever see somebody do something? You say, yeah, here, you know, old so-and-so got done. Well, if you don't remember, you know, they was in church years ago and they done that. Right or not? Well, that wasn't fleshly. That was that mind. That was that enemy come to your mind. And he brought up the unforgiveness and the things that people's done, all right? Some things don't even pertain to us and we don't forgive.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not even none of our business. And we don't forgive. Where do you think that comes from? How does that hinder your walk and how does that hinder your life? It's what you look like on the inside. You're getting beat to a pulp. Huh? Then he hits us sometimes while we're suffering or sometimes with suffering that he brings upon us. And you say the enemy brings upon us. Well, when persecution comes, for Christ's sake, it's the enemy that's directed that. Right? The Lord allows it all, but suffering will come. And if you don't believe that, you go look at Job. And Job is a wonderful example of being attacked by Satan with suffering. He uses it. Alright? Now, if I'm wrong, y'all, somebody help me. But I've tried to read and study there. After Job chapter 1, I don't recall in the scripture where Job kept going back to what happened in chapter 1. I don't recall him going over losing all my money, losing all my kids, and losing face with my wife. I don't recall him going over and over that. If I'm wrong, y'all, somebody help me. Brother Rick, can you, am I correct in that? Brother Dennis, am I correct in that? I don't know. It's all, in fact, I don't even know that Job mentioned much at all other than the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? I don't recall him in the other 30-some chapters there, I don't recall him saying, man, that time on that trash heap was killing me. When I started scraping the other day, I don't recall him doing that. Okay? But all through that suffering, the enemy is the one that was directing that. He was directing his suffering. So in times of suffering, he comes. You agree?
Yeah.
Everybody with me? Now think about that. I'm just wanting you to understand that when he comes like that, because of stuff, we lose our stuff. Well, the enemy will fight us when we lose stuff. Right? The enemy will fight us when we lose family. He does. Can I tell you that you're never prepared for death? I don't care the situation. No one is ever prepared and never prepared for death, other than maybe the one dying. Yeah. We can sit with someone who's dying. The doctor said they're going to die. We know they're going to die. We watch, and then when the line goes straight, it's a shock. It is. We can't help it because of our attachment, because of our love, because of our concern and care, and how close they are, okay? But hear me. The enemy will jump on that. If God had cared, he wouldn't have let your loved one die. It's your sin that caused it. That's what Job's friends said. Job, you wouldn't. This wouldn't happen. You hadn't been something wrong in your life, huh? Right? We okay? I'm talking about the battle's not fair. I'm talking about he don't fight fair. I'm telling you the battle hurts. I'm telling you that there's that in winning. Are you hearing me? So sometimes he hits us with unforgiveness, sometimes with suffering. Now, sometimes when that suffering comes, listen to me, when you lose stuff and friends and family, huh? You know, and you know when we lose friends, we get aggravated. People, you know, people mean well, but you know, sometimes we say stupid things. We say stupid things at stupid times. We need to guard our mouth. Okay? Sometimes it's better to pray than to say anything. Yeah. Well, just being honest. Well, how honest do you want us to be? You want us to be, yeah, you're really ugly today. That dress makes you look really fat. You know, well, you really wrinkled today. You didn't have your clothes on. I mean, do you want us to be really honest with everybody? Do we need to be that way? Huh? You know, when we talk about, you know, you need to start brushing your teeth, but you stink. Well, man, that may be an honest statement, wouldn't it? There's people like that. Would that not be true?
Yeah.
But you just don't go around doing that. Is everybody okay with me?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes friends don't help you when you're suffering. Sometimes we just need to pray and be quiet. Let the comforter comfort. Because we don't have the right words to say. We mean well. We mean well. You know, Job's friends meant well. They did. They were friends. It says that the friends of Job, they were friends. I'm glad his enemies didn't come. But you know what happens when unforgiveness and suffering comes? Listen to me now. I'm trying to help us. Listen to me. The reality of the battle, but the roughness of the battle, anger will come and he'll hit us with anger. Okay? Heal us with anger. Anger won't help you. Anger will hurt you. And we need to be careful with anger. We need to be careful because unforgiveness and sufferings, hear me now, listen to me carefully. I'm trying to help us all. Unforgiveness and sufferings together will brood anger, which will brood grudges. We okay? Now you know I'm telling you the truth. It'll brew grudges. It'll brood. If y'all know the old term brood, you know, like a chicken brood. Having chicks, you know, brood. You sit on it, wait on it to happen. You know. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? We'll hold grudge, then we'll rebel against God. We'll turn against the very one that is the cure for all. We will. That's how rough the enemy plays. The enemy don't have compassion. The enemy don't care what he's going to do. The enemy don't care if he hurts little kids. He don't care if he hurts old people. It don't matter. It don't matter how much he got. If you got something going on, well, he tries to get something else going on and try to get something else going on and overload you till you blow a gasket. The enemy don't say, well, they've got enough. No. The enemy don't care. We okay? He'll put this thought in your mind, then that thought, then that thought. Then this will happen, then there that comes. I've got to deal with that. Then that comes, then I've got to deal with that. Well, there that comes, then I've got to deal with that. Then here, this happened right in the middle. Boom, boom, boom. Huh? Is that not our life? It is our life. Look at us. We come in and we're wore out from the battle. We come into God's house and we're beat down from the battle and worn to a frazzle from the battle. He'll get his belt there in a minute, his trophy. But not right at that moment. How are you listening to me? I'm talking about the roughness of the battle. It don't ease up. It don't ease up. Huh? Get closer. Get closer to God. Whew. Wow. I thought I'd get closer to God and get easier. No. Because the enemy don't want you close to God. Don't come and pray. Oh, you're stupid. Don't pray. People's watching. Don't people think, well, wonder what they done. Huh? Do you know that's the first thing that goes through people's mind? Wonder what all they're going in. Wonder what they've done now. Huh? Were they slipping by us? I guarantee you somebody in the church will think that. Huh? Especially if you ain't seen them for a while. If you ain't seen them for a while and they come to altar, well, it's about time. I wonder when they're going to come back or quit or what they're going to do. Right? Is that not true? Huh? Where did that come from? The Lord, the Holy Ghost didn't tell you to think that. We're talking about in the church house. And the reason being because we didn't have enough nerve to go to the altar. We was beat down too hard to go. And we'd go more if we didn't think everybody would think of us like that. Huh? You know, sometimes you're afraid to come to the altar. Now, I think we ought to pray with people when they come. I encourage that. But you know, some people are scared of that. It's like the old fella, he came to the altar to get saved. Or that's what he came for. And all people got around him. What did Cheryl? They said, one of them said, empty him, Jesus. The one beside him said, fill him, Jesus. Yeah. One behind him saying, get off of him. The other said, get on him. I mean, that's how you don't know where they're praying for you, against you. I mean, it's true. But we need to remember, we ought to come. We ought to help. We ought to help the person. Everybody with me this morning? I'm talking about these battles. Listen, I'm tired. I'm mentally tired. I'm physically tired. And I'm sick tired. So, I'll just quit then. I'm done. I didn't give you 20 years. Y'all had enough. Y'all had enough. I'll just get a fill in. Huh? I'll get a fill in. Dennis, you keep teaching the new convert class. Rick, you keep teaching Sunday school. Take everything. I'll get a preacher come in. We'll film. Tom, you get checkbook ready. We're going to just. I quit. I quit. Why can't I quit? Why can't I come in flustered? Why can't I come in, oh, poo, where's Piglet? That's Eeyore, in case you didn't know. Are you listening to me? I'm not trying to make some mistake. I'm just telling you, you've got to understand we're in a battle. But, Steve, you're not my enemy. Miss Jean, you're not my enemy. Clark, you're not my enemy. Dennis, you're not my enemy. You're my help. Huh? He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful to me. Yes, we're going to fight. But I want you to know these things you're going through is the enemy. It's not God against you, but it's the enemy, and the battle is right. Yes. Listen, and I'm not bragging on this. I'm ashamed of my past. But, you know, I fought. I was stupid fighting fleshly. But I never walked away saying, boy, I felt good. I never broke bones and busted noses and busted lips and cut eyebrows. And that's stupid. Them were fleshly fights that could have been avoided. It should have never happened. But these fights, sometimes they can't be avoided. Huh? The injuries may not be avoided, but we better be set for them and know where they're coming from. You know, we used to have boxing matches down one another. I told that before, and we had a ring built, and we fought. We boxed and we fought, and the bus drivers would come after school and come down and referee the fights. We had 16-ounce gloves and had one rope. We didn't cut into 4-3. We had one rope, the four post set, and then we would referee. Okay, they'd referee and we'd fight. And sometimes I thought the ref hit me. I think I hit so many times, I thought it was the referee helping that other guy. Huh? Are you following me? Sometimes we fight and we wonder, Lord, is it you too? It's not. It's not. It's the enemy. We still okay? Listen now, unforgiveness, suffering, and anger. Right? And then sometimes he hits us with our sinful failures. Is that not true? Listen, we all mess up. There's not a person here. If you think you don't mess up, you're a liar. Or you're deceived first, and if you say you ain't messed up, you're a liar. But if you think you've not messed up, you're a deceiver. You've been deceived. Because we do mess up. Maybe not all to the same degree, but we all mess up. Can you imagine Simon Peter loving on Jesus, telling Jesus, I will die for you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Wait a minute. I'm your friend. Then in just a few hours, deny the one he was going to die for. Huh? Are you hearing me? There wasn't a day after that Peter ain't thought of that. Bet you. I bet he got up in the morning and said, I'm not going to deny him this morning. I bet that when he was eating his lunch, he said, I can't deny him afternoon. I bet when he went to bed, I bet he said, boy, I can't. I've done it. Oh, I've done made the mistake. Oh, it haunted him. How do I know? Because when it come time to die, history has, they said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. Turn me upside down because I'm the worst of the worst. Huh? That even when he denied the Lord and the Lord looked at him, he went out and wept bitterly. You think how many times when Peter got up to preach, the enemy didn't say,
What are you going to do now? Walk away? What are you going to do now? Soft soap it? What are you going to do now? Back up a little bit? What? I can hear, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Huh? Anybody ever hear that voice?
Yeah.
I hear it all the time. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Huh? That ain't the Lord. That's the enemy. Because the battle's rough. He'll remind you of your thoughts. He'll remind you when you pray. You're talking to God, holy as He is, and you thought this today. Huh? You said that. That come out your mouth. You didn't do that. Huh? All the time. Why, why? Huh? It's rough. It's rough. And I get up in the morning, and sometimes that's the way I look. And when I go to bed at night, that's the way I look. And when I go through the day, that's the way I look. That's the way I feel. Huh? They're not you? Huh? Now, if I had watched the rest of the fight, there wouldn't have been no teeth in his mouth, but he'd have been grinning with that belt around his. Blood ripping off. Arm up. I won. Okay. Gotta hurry. Gotta hurry. We still okay? Now let's look at our resources right quick. Alright? Some of you don't want to have to write down because I don't want to. Sometimes we get bored with the Word of God. So. I got reality of the battle and roughness of the battle. We okay so far? But let's look at some resources of the battle. Huh? What do I need? What's available? What's there to help me? What's there to help me? How about we stay in the Word of God? Huh? How about Psalms 119? Can we go through some of these real quick? We okay? Psalms 119, verse 9. Can I tell you how you're going to go ahead and defeat the enemy? How you're going to go ahead and smile? Well, he ain't up there now, but the scripture is. But you're not going to, even though the battle's hot and even though you're hurt, you need to stay in the Word of God. 119, let's see, where's that at? Verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. It's just wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against God. Can I tell you, I got to have that resource. Your Bible is what's going to help you. The Holy Ghost inside of you and your Bible is what's going to help you. You're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to believe your Bible. You're going to have to read it to get help, not to read it to say you read it. You're going to have to read it. If it's one verse over and over, then read that one verse over and over. But there's help in this book today. You've got to read it. You've got to. Huh? That's a resource. Huh? Galatians 5. We got other scripture there, but on the Bible. Let's just read Galatians 5 right quick. You need to walk in the Spirit. Why do you need to walk in the Spirit? Because your warfare is not fleshly, but it's spiritually. It's not carnal. You need to walk in the Spirit. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Everybody still okay with me? Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, them things that I give to you a while ago, what the enemy uses, that ain't going to affect us if we'll walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Remember that. Your battle's spiritual. Not fighting. Not mad. Not angry. Not grudges. Not mad at God. Not mad at people. Not
or sinful activity, are you following me? We got to walk in the Spirit. Look in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We okay? Can I tell you where your help is? Your help's in the Word of God. Are you with me this morning? If you believe that, say amen. Your help's in the Word of God. Your help, your resource is walking in the Spirit. If you believe that, you say amen. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's our help. It's spiritual. Are you hearing me? If you believe that, say amen. Now, hear me now. Your help is within coming to church. You need to be in church. There's counseling, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. There's help in the house of God, with the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, and they help one with another. There's encouragement with one another. People may be stupid. They may say dumb things, but your help is in the house of God. How do I know that? Because it says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says this. Hear me this morning. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Always been faithful. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking this thing. Provoking one another. Let us consider me. Would you consider me? Would anybody here help me? I need some help. If you'd be willing to help me without question, hold your hand up. If you'd be willing to help me, hold your hand up. Then come to church. Come to church on Sunday night. Come to church on Sunday morning. Come to church on Wednesday. That'll help this preacher more than anything you can do. Consider me. I'm another, ain't I? I'm another like none other. Consider me and provoke me to love. You come, I love you more. Amen. You keep coming to church, I'll love you. Huh? We okay? You keep coming, I'll do more. Are you listening? You keep coming, I'll do more. You keep coming, they'll do more. You keep coming, they'll do more. You keep coming, they'll love more. You keep coming, they'll love more. You keep coming, they'll do more and love more. Forsake ye not to assemble yourself together, as a matter of some is, and much the more. Huh? Exhorting one another, says. Exhorting, lift up, and much the more as you see a day approaching. We still okay? Come to church. Now, let me give you a good example. Now, I know I've been talking about my flesh, and I'm not going in my flesh. I'm trying to give you an illustration to understand. It's hard to fight by yourself. You don't need to be by yourself. When you're by yourself, you're with your own worst enemy. You know that? When you seek solitude, you're asking to be slapped. Alone is not what you want to be. Alone brings discouragement, brings depression, brings the enemy, and all of these imps. Okay? Years ago, now I'm not, this is a point, I only know an illustration how to use well enough. I don't have a book of illustrations to read you. Okay? Years ago, I was in an altercation with a person. Alright, I was in school, and I come out on top. And thought things was good. All right? Until the last day of school, and I was in high school. I don't know if Garth might even remember some of this, but he had got a bunch of his buddies. All right? You see my friend over there laughing at me. He got a bunch of his buddies, and he was going to take care of me because I was a loner. Yes, Garth, I didn't run with nobody. Didn't run with nobody. I was just by myself. So here come seven of them. And it was not going to be a pretty sight. But I had a buddy. I had a buddy named Bones Ramsey. You ever know Bones to fight guards? You ever know Bones to get in a fight? I never known him to say a hard word to a soul. He said, "Come on, Marcus, I'll stand with you." And they decided that us two was enough, and they didn't want none. Alone, I was no match. But I had a brother. Are you hearing me? I had a brother, and the enemy fled. Look around you this morning. You've got plenty of help. And we're on everybody's side, and we're not against one another, and we're brothers and sisters, and you don't have to stand alone. Huh? And church is a resource. Are you with me? Huh? Give me a couple more real quick. Huh? How about James? Turn them to James. James is tough, boy. James is a tough book. Right? How about chapter 4? Ooh, it's a tough book. Tough chapter. Let's go to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. How about we stay in submission to the Lord? How about we stay in the Word? How about we stay in the Spirit? How about we stay in church? Huh? How about we stay in submission? Huh? How about we look up to verse 4 in chapter 4? Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Hey, stay in the Word, stay in the Spirit, stay in the church, stay in submission, and stay out of the world. There's resources to help you, huh? We still okay? How about we stay out of situations that tempt us? Huh? How about Romans chapter 13? Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let's look at verse 14. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Listen to me. If you go on a diet, don't order dessert at the restaurant. If you go on a diet and you eat, don't order dessert. Okay? Because if you eat dessert, your diet's blown to pieces. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation where you know you're not strong enough to fight it and give place to the devil. If somebody gets on your last nerve at a certain store, don't go to that store no more. Or fix it so they don't get on your last nerve. You know? I mean, I'm not real smart, but if a dog keeps biting me, I probably ain't going to fool around that dog. You know? Probably ain't going to happen. One more. How about Psalms 51? We're not going to read it all. That's our memory verse anyway, in verse 10. Creating me a new heart is how it'll start, I believe. Huh? Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. How about we stay in the Word of God? How about we stay in the Spirit? How about we stay in church? How about we stay in submission? How about we stay out of the world? How about we stay away from things or instances or the things we know we're going to fall into temptation with? And how about we stay on our knees? Huh? In our heart with repentance. Huh? How about we do that? I'm telling you, this morning we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. But see, all this battle, I sent this to Tristan, Becky, I think. I sent it to a couple of people. Give me that last quote I got for Jeremy. That last thing. Charles Spurgeon said this. I loved it so well. It says, "Ye shall, it is true, often engage in combat, but your fight shall be with a vanquished foe." Hallelujah.
Yes, bless the Lord.
Huh? Can I just go ahead and tell you, the fight you're in, it's already won. He's already been vanquished. When he died on the cross and walked out of the tomb, the enemy had to hang his head and walk away because it was done. But your fight shall be with a vanquished foe. His head is broken. He may attempt to injure you, but his strength shall not be sufficient for his malicious design. Your victory shall be easy, and your treasure shall be beyond all count. I said, I love that quote. Yes, yes, yes. I have a vanquished enemy. I'm going to give me that other picture. Huh? Give me that other picture. Huh? This is how I look today. This is how I look today. But after the fight's over, they're going to raise my arms in victory and say, the winner is. The winner is. Hold your hand up if you're saved this morning. The winner is. Say with me. The winner is. That's you this morning. You're the winner. And though the battle get hard and though it get tough, hey, raise it back up there. Hey, I'm the winner because of Jesus Christ this morning. And he's vanquished my enemy. Let's come to the piano, Cheryl. Victory in Jesus. Come to the altar. You come if you're weak. You come if you're weary. You come if you're sinful. You come if you need Jesus. Stand to your feet right now. You come and get the resources you need from God. Don't let him beat you this morning, for our foe is vanquished. Hallelujah to God this morning. Let's sing right now. I heard an old story. Get with it. Let's go. Let's sing. Let's go. Come on, Clark. Get your book. Come on. Let's go. Let's sing right now. Right now. Play. Let's sing. I heard an old story. Hi, come on. Don't go away from here today, beat up. Raise your hands in victory. Know that he's reason. Know that he wins. Know that you won this morning.
I heard
he's a vanquished one. I've got resources. Hey, I got a blessed book. I got a church family. I got what I need in Jesus. I got what I need in the Spirit of God. I've got what I need in my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've got what I need this morning. The fight needs about
me. Thank God.
again.